Good morning. Good to see you. You know, sometimes spiritual things can be difficult or impossible to understand with our finite mind. I'd like to begin this morning in the book of James, just for a minute. James chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 3, because it says, you ask, but you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you spend it on your pleasures, is the New King James Version. Now, we all pray to God from time to time. I have even heard unbelievers pray to God. And what is the main purpose of our prayer? Now, if you're anything like me, most of the time it's to ask God for something. It might be something for myself. I call those selfish prayers. It could be something for someone else. I call them intercessory prayers. But as good as our intentions are, we're human and we don't know what we want. You ever watch a child on the floor playing with toys? He wants that one. Until another child comes in the room and has a different toy. And then he wants that one, plus the one he has. So, we don't know what we want. We also don't know what's good for us. I like potato chips. The whole bag. It's not good for me. But that's what I want. But you know, God knows. He knows what's good for us. He knows what our needs are. And so every once in a while, maybe it should be more often than not, we should praise and thank the Lord for unanswered prayers. You ever think about that? I have. Because when I was in high school, I prayed the Lord would have that girl like me enough that I could marry her. He didn't answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Because that was not the right woman for me. This one's the right woman for me. Has been for 50 years. So have you ever been blessed with a gift from God that you didn't ask for? He just bestowed it upon you because He is love and grace. You see, I didn't pray for my wife to have twins. Did you pray to have a couple of sets of twins? Oh, okay. Now, maybe she prayed for twins. I don't know. She didn't tell me that. But God, in His infinite wisdom and knowledge, He says, Ken, you need twins. You need twin boys. So I'm going to give you twin boys. And I wouldn't change that for anything. Nothing. Strip everything I have. Keep those children. Now, a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, you remember that I confess that sometimes I pray for spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul tells us it's a good thing to pray for spiritual gifts. Let's look at that. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But, he says, especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries are that which hasn't been revealed yet. If you go to a car show in December when all the new models are being shown off, they're all covered with these big sheets and you can't see them. And all of a sudden, somebody walks up to that booth and there's a new 2022 Corvette. $60,000-$80,000 car. But the pulling of the sheet off is revealing the mystery of what was behind it. It was there all along. Just like God's mysteries, they're all around us, and then all of a sudden they're revealed to us. Now, verse that I read was the most interesting verse. If I were blessed to speak in an unknown tongue, I am not talking to you. I'm talking to God directly. Tongues is a gift where I am assisted in my worship to God, or in my conversation with God. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm first, it's 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, I have my cup of coffee, I sit there on the couch and it's dark. I don't put any lights on, and I just sit there and talk to God. Well, tongues assists me in my talking. And because I don't even understand it, my speaking bypasses the narrow, narrow channel of my intellect. And it broadens that so that I can say to God what's in my heart. I don't have to move my mouth. You ever been in a place where your feelings, now men, that's tough, but you do have feelings. When your feelings are greater than your ability to express them. That's tough. I've been there. I've been there right up here, standing in front of you, trying to explain spiritual things in the Bible or express God's goodness or his greatness or... And I try to look for those words to explain his love for us. I can't do it. I can't do it because English is so limited. It becomes impossible to define God in English or in German or in French. Doesn't matter. And so, during times like that, God gives up this gift where it bypasses our intellect. And I don't have to try to think of a word. His spirit unites with my spirit. And there's this unrestricted flow of our love, our appreciation, as we praise and glorify the God that we worship. There's no words to express the things of the Spirit. And so God helps us express that through that gift. I have never been blessed with that gift. Now, another area of difficulty that we have is that offering to God prayer according to his will, not my will. That's hard. That's tough. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he helps us with this. Romans 8, verse 26. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, and he makes it with groanings, which can't be uttered. So here the Holy Spirit is speaking in a tongue that we don't understand and we can't speak. But he is speaking in intercession for us. And he says, God Almighty, this is what Ken really wants to say to you. Only there's no words that he can say to say it, so I'm going to say it to you. And he says it with groanings. And in that way, the Holy Spirit helps our prayer life. And our prayer life becomes stronger and more bonded to God. Now, sometimes he may do it with spoken words. Maybe he will find some English words that, put together in the right way, I am able to express the inspiration of the Spirit, my prayer to God. That's what this whole Bible is all about. It was all written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was not written by John or Paul or Matthew or Isaiah. They only wrote down what the Spirit said. Write this down. This is what they're going to have to hear 2,000 years later. That's why I have to read my scripture every day. That Spirit helping us is a gift from God. And it's a gift that is given solely by grace. We don't have to pray for it. We don't have to beg for it. It's a grace given to us by God. And through that grace, we are built up. We are edified, is the word that's used in Scripture. We benefit from that. We are blessed. But Paul says, if you do desire gifts, that's good. But it's best that you desire the gift of prophecy over the gift of tongues. Because the gift of tongues is only good for one person, the one that has it. If there's no interpreter, nobody else knows what's going on. Someone that prophesies speaks to the whole church for edification or exhortation or comfort. Today, after this service, we're going to have a time in which we comfort one another for the loss of a loved one. In the New Testament, prophets were used not so much for foretelling. People think of foretelling as predicting the future. But New Testament prophets are used for forthtelling. Forthtelling, speaking God's truth to people. So as you and I speak God's truth to whoever he puts in front of us, we build up their faith. We build up their relationship with Jesus Christ. We build up their fellowship with the Lord. God wants fellowship with us. He's not just the Lord King up high there. He's the Lord King sitting next to you. So as we speak God's truth, God's word, they're encouraged. Their commitment to Christ is strengthened. Plus, they're comforted as they realize, and this is a big realization for Christians and non-Christians, they realize that everything is in God's hands, not ours. There's nothing I can do without the Lord. He will take care of us. Oh, I know, there's a whole bunch of people who say, well, he hasn't taken care of me too well. I'm sleeping under a bridge. Okay. Did you make choices in your life that caused you to sleep under that bridge? Because God lets you make your own choices. He gives you free will. He will not force you through that door to come in and worship him. He opens the door, but you have to walk through it. If I will just patiently wait, now I've done this, and I have patiently waited, and my wife has patiently waited beside me for a long time for a relationship with our daughter. But in patiently waiting, we will see the work of God happen right before our eyes. And it has happened. The clips here can testify of it because we share on prayer night with them. For 30 years, our daughter disowned us. And now we have a close, bonding relationship that we talk sometimes daily on the phone because she lives in Texas. And we shared buying a house with her. And we're involved in her life, and she's involved in ours now. And it's beautiful. But we had to wait for it, for the right timing. And so we give him praise and glory to his name. Now, it's not enough for a minister to stand up here and convey information to people. The people must receive it if it's to do them any good. The seed that is received on the good ground, that's the seed that bears fruit. Not the seed that fell on stony ground. Luke 8:8 says others, talking about seed, fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop of 100-fold. And when he, Jesus, had said these words, he cried out, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And that's what God's word is all about. You have to hear the word of God, but you have to hear it. If a believer wants to be edified, big word, it just means built up, they have to prepare their heart to receive God's word. Now, my wife and I garden big time. I got tractors and equipment and all that stuff, and I give pounds and tons of it away. We have to prepare the soil to receive the seed so that it will yield 100-fold. Planting, harvesting, cultivating, nurturing. That's what God's word does for us. But not everybody who listens hears. Now, I have an issue sometimes because I can't hear out of my left ear. There was a famous minister. I don't know if anyone know him. I hadn't heard of him, but I run across this story. Dr. Joseph Parker. You guys hear of him? No, me neither. He preached at a very important gathering. And afterwards, he was approached by a man who pointed out an error in his sermon. And Dr. Parker stand there, and he listened very patiently to all the man's criticism. And then he asked him a question. He says, "And what else did you get out of the message?" All of a sudden, this guy disappears in the crowd and was not heard of again. You see, very too often we are quick to judge the sermon instead of allowing the Word of God to judge us. And we find one thing, and it captivates your mind, and you can't hear anything else that's said. It's blocked out. And you lose the blessing that God had in mind for you. In this chapter, 14, Paul goes on, and in my estimation only, he repeats himself quite a bit about the gift of tongues. Quite a few verses more, which I will not bore you by reading all that over and over and over, because he says the same thing. But I want to point out something that he does say. Three illustrations he uses to serve his point. Musical instruments, a bugle call, and daily conversation back and forth. Take this piano. We were listening to Pearline, my wife, play on it this morning and singing, right? Oh, want to sing that song again? You see, I can't play the piano. And so, if a musical instrument is not played correctly and in a clear and distinct sound, even I didn't know what I played, so nobody else knows what was played. And Paul says a bugler. Buglers were used, they're still used in the army. I used to hear reveille and mess call. But if that bugle player doesn't know how to play the correct call, then the soldiers don't know. Do we retreat or do we charge? What are we supposed to do? I didn't understand that. It has to be clear to be understood. Now, Paul's relating all this to the gift of tongues. And it holds true with daily conversation. My standing here talking to you, you talking to one another out there. My granddaughter upstairs talking to the children about Scripture. Just go to another part of this country that you've never been to before. You don't even have to leave the United States, especially go down south. And it can be challenging to understand what they're saying. It sounds like they're talking in an unknown tongue. Each language, I'm talking about real languages on the earth, are different and unique. And Paul, in verse 10, is talking about actual languages there when he says, it may be so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. No matter how sincere the speaker may be, if we don't understand his language, he can't communicate with us. So therefore, that's why Paul says it would be best to limit the exercise of the gift of tongues. He doesn't say it's not good to have it. He just says, let's limit it a little bit. In verse 27, he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, maybe three at most, he says, each in turn, and let one person interpret. If there's no interpreter, he says, keep silent. Let him speak to himself and speak to God privately. Now, it's really important, and it always is, to understand what is the purpose of this chapter. What is to be accomplished through God's word here? Well, in Corinth, there was a lot of disorder. There was a lot of confusion. And Paul's trying to reestablish order in the Corinthian church. They had wrote to him and says, we have issues with all these lists. And so Paul addressed them all. This is one of those that he addressed. 26, verse 26, he says, how is it, brethren? He asked him a question. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm. Each of you has a teaching. Each of you speaks in a tongue, has a revelation or an interpretation. He says, let everything be done for edification, for building up of everybody. You see, one person would want to sing a psalm. I like singing. Another wanted to share a doctrine that they had read. And someone else had a revelation and they wanted to share it. And if there's no order, if there's no God-given order, there's no building up of the brethren. It's just confusion. And along with all this going on, now, picture this. This guy wants to come up and speak. This one over here says, I got something. Wait a minute, I want to talk now. They're all competing, and on top of all that, the women in the church were asking questions. I didn't understand what he said. Who's that guy talking? I don't recognize him. They were talking amongst themselves, asking questions, and maybe even getting into a little bit of a discussion close to arguing. And so Paul gently reminds them. He says, married women, submit to your husbands. Ask your questions at home and let him answer them. That's what verse 34 means here. It doesn't mean you women can't never speak in church. He is trying to reestablish order in the Corinthian church. And he says, let your women be silent in the church. They're not permitted to speak. They are to be submissive, as the law says. What law? Anyone know that law? Well, law was used as a synonym for the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have the Bible that we have. And so it refers to the first five books of the Bible known as the Torah. That's where the law was given. And it was probably somewhere around Genesis 3:16 that Paul was thinking of when he said that. Jesus is talking. He says, to the woman, Jesus said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. This is right after the fall. She ate the fruit, forbidden fruit. She gave it to her husband. He also shared in that meal. And he says, in pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's why he says, ask your husband the question. Because in biblical time, and believe it or not, in today's time, the husband is supposed to know God's word. He is supposed to be able to explain it and share it to his family. And so if the husband did not know it, then he's going to say, okay, honey, I'm a little busy right now. Let me get back to you tomorrow. And he's going to go in his closet, and he's going to open up the book, and he's going to find it. He's going to search it out. And then he's going to sound intelligent. He's going to say, okay, honey, in Jeremiah 42, verse 3, it says, the Lord may show us in the way we should walk and the thing we should do. Oh, thank you. But we can take everything I've said, and we can take this whole chapter, and we can summarize it in the last two verses. Pretty cool, isn't it? I didn't have to read the whole book. 39 and 40 says, prophecy is more important than tongues. But do not prohibit the exercise of the gift of tongues. That's okay. The purpose of spiritual gifts, all of them now, not just one, is edification of the church. So, gifts, when exercised, must be done in an orderly manner. That's how chapter 14 ends. Just like that. But, I believe it's important to remember how the chapter began and obey that also. The chapter begins with verse 1. Pursue love. That's the first words of that chapter. Pursue love. Now, if you've been attending here the last few weeks or so, you know I am not speaking about intimate sexual love. I'm not even talking about phileo, which is another Greek word for love, brotherly love. The love that we are to pursue. Now, what does pursue mean to you? It means go after it, strive after it, yearn for it, and don't stop until you get it. It's a self-sacrificing love that knows no end. It is never exhausted. You don't run out of this love. It's a love that when the mind says no, the heart says yes. A love that says, when you say, or let me say, I say, I don't have enough. It's that love that gives to those that have less than you. When you're tired, when you're worn out, and yet there's just so much left to do before the day ends, the telephone rings. And that love says, I'll be right over to help you with that. That's the love to pursue. That's the Christ-like love. You know what Christ-like love is like? Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude tried to touch him. Now here's Jesus. Now what's a multitude? Hundreds, maybe thousands. And they're all hoarding around Christ. And they're all reaching out to get a hold of him. Scripture says, power went out from him and healed them all. You see, Christ never ran out of that love. That love, agape love. We talked about that last week. And so let's pray. Lord, we want that kind of love. All this other type of love that we feel is important to us, get rid of it. We pray that you will replace in us the love that Jesus Christ had for us. No, he wasn't hauled off to that cross and nailed on it. He walked willingly to it. And it was not the nails that held him up on the cross. It was this agape love for the whole world that kept him up there, that he gave his life for us. And so, Lord, that's the love that we want. Put that desire in all of us, Lord, that we would truly desire and try to be and yearn to be like you. as we follow you. I pray a blessing on everybody here and that's yet to come, that you would grant them, through your grace, this love. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to take a slight pause here because I didn't have any breakfast this morning. We are going to eat a little bit,
yeah.
And we'll come back here and we will conclude with the memorial for Don Howe.